Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. What's up, Lo?
Hey, what up?
Coming at you from our personal studios on a Thursday night.
Straight from the D.
Straight from the D. Almost.
Almost. You're from the sort W, of. I'm from the O. We're whoa. Yeah. W-O-B. Together we are whoa.
True.
Like whoa. Remember that song?
I don't know if I'm thinking of the same song as you.
As a 90s hip hop song.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of a like 2000s Disney song.
Yep, nope, not the same.
Different vibes.
Yeah.
Oh man. So guys, I don't know if you follow our social medias. You should. If you don't, cough, cough, at Horror, Wine, and Crime on all of them. But you might have seen a few weeks ago now, I think, right? 2 weeks ago, something like that. Lo posted a video of us. We were going to take the Saltburn movie challenge.
Which we made up, by the way.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's not an actual challenge. I mean, it is now because we made it a challenge. But but like so many people were like so disgusted by this movie. And like quite a few people like didn't even finish it because they were like not about it. So we were like, well, let's see if we could finish it. And we did.
Yeah, my teen daughter and her friend were like, it's not that deep.
Yeah, like after we watched it, I was kind of like, okay. There were for sure moments, and that we'll definitely get into, but yeah.
Yeah, with the disturbed and oh my gosh, I feel like that part was all like overhyped. Either that or me and Kay are like way more desensitized than we thought.
That's what I'm like. I'm like, if people were that thrown off by it, because yes, there were parts that I was like, ew, or like, that's freaking weird. But yeah, if people like were so thrown off by it, I'm like, maybe I'm messed up. Like, am I the one that's messed up? Like, is my mind that like okay with watching these things? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's me.
My biggest thing was it gave me anxiety. Anxiety of like, oh my God, somebody's going to walk in at any second. But then they didn't.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. I don't know if I was there. I was more kind of just like, ew. Okay, weird. This is like a weird thing you're doing, but okay.
Yeah, like I'll tell you what the things as we discuss them because we're going to talk about the scenes. So when we get into the scenes, I'll be like, yep, that's where I thought like someone was kind of behind me. Like, what are you doing? And it's right. Really weird and awkward and like so bad.
So uncomfortable.
So anyways, we'll talk Saltburn, and you guys, as always, feel free to write in or text or email, whatever it is, and let us know your thoughts. We did get a few of them on Facebook. People were saying again, like that it was overhyped. They thought it was weird, but not that gross. A couple people said that they were very disturbed by it. Just kind of just different opinions from different people, but I think everybody might have their own rhyme and reasons. So that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, like it's funny to like hear how people just have so many different like views of it, because you know, for what might seem like this is okay to us might be like so horrifying to somebody else.
Well, people probably think like, who thinks like that?
I mean, I definitely thought that.
And like, what director thinks like that to write that, you know?
Right, like what's going on upstairs.
But overall, I mean, it wasn't that bad.
No, I don't think so either.
But what it did do, it gave me a lot of Cruel Intention vibes.
I get that. I totally get that.
Like, I mean, who doesn't love Cruel Intentions? Like, anytime right. you hear a Bittersweet Symphony by The Verb, you know you want to open your sunroof and put your sunglasses on.
Right.
I mean, come on. That was a whole vibe. The song, the movie, that was an era. Okay. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely for sure. I agree. Gives off similar like vibes.
So by Cruel Intention vibes is I got when they were sitting and it was Oliver and Venetia talking and she's like, you're just another one of his toys. Like, but I like you better mm-hmm. than the one than last year. And that what made me think of like Ryan Felipe and Sarah Michelle Gellar when they were like making the bet about Reese Witherspoon and like all that stuff. That's kind of like how I like it was another mind game type.
Right. Song. Yeah. Definitely mind games, key words for both of those movies.
I feel like Barry Keoghan, I think that's how you say his name. He played Oliver.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Keoghan.
Keoghan.
Right? Pretty sure.
If he had a smaller nose, he'd give me Jerry O'Connell vibes.
Yeah, they definitely have similar looks. You said that when we were watching it, and I could definitely see it. He has like a unique look to him. Like, I don't know how to really describe.
Yeah, so
like what it is.
I think that he did that role very well. And I don't know if this movie is quite like Oscar winning, but that scene at the end when he's like dancing naked, like,
oh my gosh, I was
if he doesn't get any attention for that, I'd be kind of surprised.
It went on for so long. I was like, when is this ending? Oh, yeah, that scene went on for so long. I was like, okay. And I heard, like, it wasn't, like, any prosthetics or anything. Like, he just laid it all out there, I guess.
Okay. Proud of it. Okay. Yep. So I guess we'll just kind of, for people who haven't seen the movie or know what we're talking about, we'll talk about it a little bit. And then Crystal will tell you about her fun facts that she researched from behind the scenes stuff. So we got Oliver and Felix. They meet at Oxford College or a college in Oxford. And I feel like Oliver is just like this. I don't know if he really is, but he played it that way. This misplaced outlander type, wanting a friend type guy, just awkward and whatever. Him and Archie met, and I think Archie knew from the beginning, like, something's off with this dude. Like, yeah, you could tell, like, they weren't vibing from the very beginning of the movie. And it shows the Felix and Oliver relationship build. Felix takes him home to his rich family. Now, do you think it was just all like, so like Felix brought him home because he thought he was helping this damsel in distress male version? Or do you think there was like, he really felt like a friend, like he was bringing a friend home?
I don't know, like, because kind of like the comment that Felicia made about, like, you know, him being his new toy or whatever, that gave me a different, because like if she didn't say that or like imply anything by it, I would have just thought like he's just a nice guy who was like bringing his friend that he felt bad for to like their summer house, which maybe that was the case. Maybe he like takes people and like that he feels bad for and like tries to like include them or whatever. But it was just kind of weird when she made that comment, because I'm like, what does that mean exactly? It gave off like weird, confusing vibes. I don't know what his like intentions were.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of this movie was just built on awkwardness. Just like the dinner talk, the way they were just kind of like trying to fade Pamela out.
Oh, I know. They were trying to like politely kick her out. Like they're like, oh, we'll be so sad to have you leave. And she's like, well, I can stay longer. And they're like, no, you don't want to do that. You want to leave. They were like not about her staying there at all.
And I wonder why they were fading her out. Like why they thought.
I know, like they seemed like they thought she was kind of like a mess, but she seemed like polite and like
not, the whole family like, was a hot mess.
Right. They were more of a hot mess, I feel like, than she was.
So yeah, he gets in, he gets there, he gets settled. Then there is, he really makes his way through the family. Chris was like, hell yeah.
He really did.
So we'll talk about ick scene number one, the ick. Oliver and Venetia, she was just sitting outside like in the middle of the night. And I don't know if she was purposely trying to get his attention or if she was just really minding her business and he saw her, but either way, he went down, they had conversations, and let's just say there was blood and
lots of blood,
fingers, and she's like, so he starts, you know, getting close to her, which I thought up until this point I thought he was gay.
Yeah, his whole thing was confusing. I guess he was bisexual.
I guess he was by the end of the movie, anything he could put his schlong in at that point.
Yeah, honestly, literally.
But she's like, it's not the time of the month for that. Or how she worded it was off, but he basically finger painted with her own fluid. Fluid number one. There's lots of fluids in this movie as well. I feel like this whole movie is like a carnal, savage, sexual desire movie.
So many fluids.
And I say carnal because the way things are just devoured sexually.
It's just dark. Twisted and weird.
So that scene goes on for a little bit, and little does he know, I think Archie's seen it.
Yes, yeah.
And he was going to stir some shit up. So, yeah, not a smart move, because Oliver is not one to be had in this movie as it goes on.
No.
They have a fun little karaoke night.
Yeah.
The tennis game and the fancy dresses actually was kind of fun looking. I wish I had
their parties. I will say their parties looked fun.
Yes. I wish I had that kind of money to have those kinds of parties.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And then you basically just see like his obsession for Felix kind of grow as the movie goes on. And I had a hard time placing Felix because I felt like there was a connection between him and Oliver, but I couldn't tell if he was gay, straight, bi.
Yeah, I don't really know
what he actually wanted, what his intentions really was with Oliver.
Yeah, like that's, I think they wanted us to kind of like be confused on like what his intentions were and like what his actual like sexuality was or whatever, because like they never made it super clear, but they kind of like hinted at things about like they for sure made it very clear that Oliver was obsessed with Felix, like so obsessed to the point that they gave us an ick scene when he was like spying on him in the bathroom. That the infamous bathtub scene that everybody has an opinion on.
Break it down for him, Kay. Break it down for him.
Oh, I'm like, how do I say this? So, yeah, he basically, Oliver's just like peeking into the bathroom when Felix is like in the bathtub, like taking care of his business, I guess. And he leaves the bathroom, and Oliver takes it upon himself to just start licking and slurping up the remaining
soldiers
in the bathtub.
His little soldiers. That was one of the scenes. That's the scene where I'm like, oh my God, he's going to get caught. Like, I thought as he had his head sideways and he's like literally like slurping the drain hole to get the last drop.
Oh, that was disgusting.
I thought Felix was going to walk up behind him. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I think that I kind of thought that too. I'm like, what if he like walks back into the bathroom right now? Like, what is he going to think? But that definitely would have ruined like the buildup in the movie, because I feel like if that happened, it would have totally just like killed anything that Felix felt about Oliver, even just like in a friendship way too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he just would have been like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, but I also feel like the Oliver character, he would have been quick on his feet. I'm sure he would have said something.
Right. That would be difficult to recover, but he for sure would have come up with something, because he's just a little conniving.
And then he got his way with Archie after karaoke night.
It's very shocking, because I thought they hated each other. I think they do hate each other, but it was like still happened.
Well, that was like an aggressive like moment for Oliver. He was kind of more aggressive about it.
Yeah, he for sure.
And Archie was like, okay, you know.
Yeah, he was like kind of weirded out at first, but then he, you know, he gave in.
Which, so now we've done banged his sister and his cousin. So he's making his way through the family.
He even like kind of flirted with the mom a little bit too. Nothing happened, but like he was kind of talking about, like, he made a comment like about how good she looked or something like that. And you could tell she kind of like was like, oh, thank you. So yeah. He was just trying to go through everybody.
I feel like, I don't know what I'm going to say now. I lost it.
It's all the crazy talk of the scenes.
So we get to the point where Felix is trying to do something nice, because Oliver has built his whole life on the lies. He's just one big walking lie. He makes it seem like he comes from a poor family, a dad who's like a user and alcoholic, like druggy. I think at one point he even says his dad fell on his head and died.
Yep.
And so Felix tries to make it so he can go back and see his mom. And then you see dad walk up and mom's all like, oh my God, I'm so happy. And you're like, what the hell? Like,
and it's like a beautiful home, like nice and homey and cozy. Like, they're clearly not drug addicts or alcoholics.
Very cute. Very like right off the vineyards. And yeah, so it's right about here where you can start to see the movie take a shift. Felix is kind of like, you can stay for the party, but then I want you gone. And I think that's when Oliver is like, okay, I have to do some damage control, or I have to move forward with my plan super quick, like from first to third gear. They have a masquerade party or some kind of party was going on.
Yeah, it was actually for, they threw it for Oliver's birthday, I'm pretty sure.
And they had like weird costumes. I feel like someone with ears and wings and like.
Yeah, there was definitely like an interesting theme going on.
And then I feel like he was trying to salvage what he could with Felix, but Felix was just done. And that makes me go like, I get he was betrayed about the lies, but again, did he really care for Oliver or was he a toy? But the way he was so upset, it made me feel like he really was disappointed in his friend.
Yeah, that's true. Like his reaction kind of makes it seem more like he just genuinely was trying to be Oliver's friend and be there for him because he thought he was going through like a really hard time. And so he was probably just like extremely hurt when he found out that it was all just a big, giant, horrible lie.
Yeah. And then, so as the movie goes on, if you guys haven't seen this movie, you might want to turn it off because we're about to hit spoiler alerts and probably kill the ending for you. Yeah. So we'll give you a few minutes. Or just, you know, this is a good time. Go to the bathroom, check on your kids, stop and get gas, whatever you got to do if you're driving, and then catch back up for the second part of the story.
Yeah.
More fun stuff going on after this. So this is the part where you start to see what Oliver's true plan really was. It goes back to see how he like sabotaged everything, like from the way he met Felix to everything from Oxford to getting to come to the house and home with Felix to seducing the family members. Now we're talking murder. You see that he took Felix out. He literally single-handedly took out the whole dang family, except for the dad. I think the dad did natural causes on his own.
Yep.
But other than that, like, everybody, he took the whole family out. He took Felix out with drugging him, which, again, was weird because he drugged him and killed him. But then at his funeral, after everybody left, ick scene number three, he gets naked and literally has sex with his plot. His dirt. That Which, had to again, be the- I'm like, somebody's going to walk back up. The sister's going to walk back up. Nobody did. I'm like, you're out in the open fucking a plot and no, literally, and nobody
did this. Like, and he's like sobbing while he's doing it. And like, I have to say, ick number three takes the cake for me. Like, I think my jaw was down the longest during this part because I'm just like, what is happening? I'm uncomfortable.
Again, I thought he was just going to get caught. That's what made it uncomfortable. I mean, the whole scene was weird, but my thing was like, you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. Someone's going to see you. He perfectly set it up for Venetia to kill herself. He got in her head and messed with her. I did find it weird when they were at the table, though, right after Felix died. They're all eating lunch like it's lunchtime.
Dude, they were acting like everything was good.
And then, like, they made the butler close, like, they all had the blinds closed, but the butler was like, F this. And he, like, rips open the curtains and is like, the sun will come through, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, what? It is still lunchtime. We are still eating lunch. Like, okay. It's like nobody
like you could tell them. That you could tell they were, like, internally spiraling.
Yes.
But they were just trying to act like everything was normal, which is such a weird way to deal with it.
And then Venetia dies, like, what, 2 days later, whatever it was.
He kicks Archie out. He tells on him, and, like, they kick him out.
Yeah. Then the dad's like, how much money will it take for you to go away? Leave me and my family alone. So I'm wondering if the dad was onto him, like, suspecting, like, is he behind all of this? Like,
I don't know if he was, or if he was just, like, it's time for you to go, like, all of the children are, like, dead, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if something happened to one of my friends, and I, like, if that was me, after the funeral and everything, I think I would want to leave, like.
Right, I wouldn't
stay. I need to go home, like.
Yeah.
Family grieve as a family without me, like.
Exactly.
So that scene was definitely weird. So Oliver makes you think he's making his way back home, which again, it makes it weird, like how conveniently he knew that she was going to come up to that diner and she invites him back. And then he like kills the mom after somehow getting in her head to sign over the family estate to him.
I'm like, so, girl, how and why would you do that?
And then obviously he kicks all the staff out and.
Oh yeah. Just has a naked dance party with by himself.
I'm like, dude. So. Yeah.
Such a bizarre movie.
I think it's kind of, if you are not offended very easily, if you are not on the prude side, I would say at least watch it once.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But if you're sensitive and if you're squirmish and if you get disturbed vibes easy, then maybe this one isn't for you.
Yeah, I would say for sure skip it then, because it's probably not for you.
But if you have a dark sense of humor, then give it a whirl.
If you're messed up like us, then you can handle this.
Crystal will tell us about some of the fun facts that she found behind it.
Yes, I just have a few, but the first one, so Margot Robbie, she actually produced it, which I didn't know until I like read this online, but she's like in everything right now, so girl boss for her. Mr. Brightside by The Killers, very famous song. It was the most expensive song that they had to license for the film. And they had a lot of popular like bangers for that movie. I will say they had a good soundtrack.
Now, the song he was dancing naked to, you said?
No, that wasn't the song he was dancing naked to. Okay. But it was in the movie. But the song he was dancing to was, it's like a huge song on TikTok right now. I don't know if it is big on TikTok because of this movie or if what, which one happened first, but I've heard it like so many times.
Chicken or the egg? The chicken or the egg?
Exactly. So Barry, who played Oliver, he actually created 5 different versions of Oliver while they were filming, and he had a different notebook for each. So I guess when I read this, I was like, kind of makes me want to like go back and watch it just to be like, if I can figure out these different versions that he created for him. I'm thinking if like it's just like, you know, the shy version and then like the outgoing kind of like sexual crazy one, the murderous one, the like goofy dancing one. You know what I mean? Like, I guess he had like different versions of this character in his head. At the same time that they were shooting Saltburn, Jacob Elordi, who plays Felix, he was preparing for his big role of playing Elvis Presley in the new Priscilla movie that just came out. So during his downtime, he was just like getting his Elvis on.
I think I have reasons to go watch Priscilla now.
Right? Exactly.
I did have to say, I know him from Kissing Booth.
Same. That's where he originally comes from for me too.
Okay.
Even though I heard he was smack talking that movie a little bit, saying he didn't really want to do those movies
because I probably thought he'd end up being kind of like, well, again, in Saltburn it was kind of the same character, a little bit more grown and adultish, but it was the same type, college preppy party playboy looking yep. guy.
Yeah, exactly. And then this, oh my gosh, this fact kills me. So Barry Keoghan, aka Oliver, he improvised that nude gravesite scene where he's having sex with the gravesite.
wasn't in the movie.
It was not scripted or planned. He improvised that. And I don't know if that's genius or terrifying. Because well, like what's going on in, what's going on in your brain?
Or producer obviously liked it.
Margot Robbie was apparently all about it.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, when I read that, I was like, what? Like, and then to like improvise that, I feel like that's embarrassing because what if it didn't go well? Like, what if everybody was like, what the fuck, dude?
Right.
And they were like, why would you do that? But it went over well for him. But I was just kind of like, wow, well, that was a ballsy move, literally. Yeah. And then finally, my last one is the nude dancing sequence or whatever at the end. It took 11 takes to perfect. So he did that 11 times until they got like the one that they wanted, I guess.
I wonder how many they actually were perfect and they just made him do it again.
Like, just keep going. Oh, my gosh.
Can't even.
But yeah, those are my fun / disturbing facts for this movie.
Saltburn, people. There it is.
Yeah, for real. Now we're moving on to the segment 2 of this episode. Kind of Lo's going to take us through some celebrity stalking stories. It kind of bounces off from the last 3 episodes where we had celebrities, very major ones that were stalked. So we're kind of jumping off that, and Lo's going to take us through some.
So, well, we each got some celebrity cases. So I'll go through mine and then I'll let Kay tell you what she found.
Cool, cool.
Okay, so my first celebrity find is Brad Pitt, who finds, well, it's actually him. His staff finds a teenage girl sleeping in his bed.
Gross.
What's in the fucking box?
So, a girl stalker broke into Brad Pitt's home. She helped herself to drinks. She tried on his clothes and then fell asleep in his bed. Her name was Athena Marie Rolando. She was 19. She broke into the pounds. They call it the pounds of his house, but we'll just say he broke into his house. It was in Los Angeles. And she crept into his bedroom wearing only her underwear. When she discovered that he was away, she rummaged through all his belongings, tucked herself up in his bed for the night. She remained inside his house in the Santa Monica Mountains for 10 hours before being discovered. She had hoped to seduce Brad Pitt. If you don't know who he is, he was in 7, Meet Joe Black, The Devil's Own. You have to live under a rock to not know him, but just in case. Yeah. The police arrested her and the next morning, and after she had shocked the household staff, they had discovered her sleeping fast asleep in his bed. They called 911. They were kind of frightened. And 6 armed police officers stormed the building. They basically, like, it's like Goldilocks. She's just sleeping in his, somebody's sleeping in my bed. And just like,
so weird.
Put your arms up. Like, that's just like so crazy. But yeah, she had climbed into an open window. And they're kind of like surprised because they're like, usually security is pretty tight. He had a pretty amazing managed crew there. So how she slipped through, like, she's either very sleuth or just got very lucky.
Yeah, you would think that his house would be, like, super, you know, tight on security. But the fact that she just kind of, like, got through a window, like, no, like, nothing. She was determined.
Yeah, pretty much. Fortunately, it seems that the young woman didn't wish any harm on him. She could have did a lot of damage, but she didn't. She was just discovered wearing a blue hat, green sweatshirt, and black tracksuit bottoms and his tennis shoes that all belong to Brad Pitt. The police held her for 24 hours, but she was later released on bail after being charged with trespassing. She told Los Angeles police that she put on his clothes because she was cold. It is believed that Brad Pitt had never met her. At the time of the break-in, Brad Pitt, who spends much of his time away, he was not home. He was filming a new project. My second one is...
Good thing he wasn't home, because that would have been a whole different story. Like,
yeah, maybe he would have caught her sooner, because he would have been, I don't know, been in his bed. Like, but could you imagine being Brad Pitt?
So she wouldn't have been there for 10 hours.
Some half-naked chick all of a sudden creeps into your bedroom and creeps into bed with you. like what the hell?
Scary.
Talk about, like, I don't even know. Like, I can't even imagine what he would do. Like,
oh my gosh, he would probably just start screaming and like calling for his security or whatever. I hope that's what he would do.
Yeah, drop some F bombs.
Right.
Then there is Rachel Bilson, which I love Rachel Bilson. Crystal sucks because she never watched The OC, but if she did, she'd love her too. And she never watched Heart of Dixie because she sucks, because if she did, she'd love her too.
I just listened to her on, she was on Call Her Daddy. I mean, it's an older episode, but I listened to it recently and I do like her.
She's cute. Yeah. Maybe watch some of her shit, okay?
I know.
In February of 2023, Rachel Bilson was granted a restraining order against a terrifying alleged stalker who tried to break into her LA home on multiple occasions. The 40-year-old man repeatedly called her his wife and told her more harrowing things. She said that there had been many incidents, messages on social media, letters, but the most alarming is that there have been multiple attempts to visit her in her home. He refers to me as baby and calls me his future wife and indicates that he believes I am pregnant with his child. That was quoted from Rachel herself. And she says, I have never met him and have absolutely no intention on doing so.
Dang. So he big time to Lulu.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next one is, it's Britney Spears, bitch. Okay. So it's when Britney Spears and Sam Asghari had their fairy tale wedding, and her ex-husband Jason Alexander nearly ruined it when he showed up violently crashing the wedding. He live streamed himself on Instagram, approaching her home and trying to gain access to the wedding. He was detained and held by police, and the newlyweds were granted a restraining order a couple days later.
What the heck? I did not know about this.
Is he the one that she married in Vegas for like 48 hours?
I don't know. I don't even know who that is.
I think it is. I think because it's ex-husband. So yeah, she was like best friends with him like before she became, you know, Britney bitch. Yeah. And I think it was after Federline? Or before, right before Federline. But they went to Vegas, they partied, they got drunk, they got married by Elvis. And then she came home and got in trouble by her dad and had it annulled like 48 hours later.
Okay, so it was like a very short-lived marriage.
But apparently he was still holding on to some stuff.
I guess so. Oh my gosh. Crazy town to burst into her wedding. Like, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, like, what do you think was going to happen? She was just going to confess her love? Like,
yeah, like, she's going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're right. Because it's like, if she wanted to be married to you, she would have stayed married to you. Or at least stayed with you.
In 2014, we have Selena Gomez. She had to deal with a terrifying stalking situation at the hands of a man named Che Cruz. He went as far as to break into her guest house and actually a couple of times. He was ordered to stay away for a decade and to undergo psychological treatment. She later put the house up for sale according to an article in Teen Vogue. My thing is, like, why would the judge say you are ordered to stay away from her for just 10 years? How about forever?
Yeah, like, why in 10 years is he allowed to, like, be near her again?
I don't know.
Because, like, she never wants him to be near her, so he should never be allowed to be near her, especially if he's breaking into her house a bunch of times.
I don't understand rulings sometimes.
No.
I really don't. Kind of like going back to the guy that won all kinds of money for throwing a boomerang to his face, so he sued himself and won.
Yep. Yeah. Just, it's very confusing. There's lots of weird loopholes that I don't understand.
So the next one is Jennifer Lopez. I don't know if there's a trend, kind of picking some of my favorites.
Some of your faves. I just watched her documentary that she
I heard it was out. Pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't watch the movie, but I watched like the documentary because she put out two different things.
Okay. Monica Padman, if you don't know, is with our boy Dax, which we used to shout out, but now we're trying to stand on our own 2 feet, although we still love Dax.
Oh, always.
Somehow he always finds a way into our episodes anyway. So
I know, literally. So we still basically shout him out.
So this one is Miss Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, if you will. Her stalker not only broke into her home, but was able to stay in her guest house for nearly a week undetected. The man named John Dubas claimed to be her ex-husband and the father of her children. According to the HuffPost, he was sent away for a psychiatric evaluation. If anybody knows Jennifer, even not personally, if you've been around tabloids and media, you kind of know that Jennifer's husband, is Mark Anthony. He had kind of, you know, the whole wedding and babies and... So obviously he must not get celebrity news TV.
No, not at all. So did this happen when she was married to Mark Anthony?
I'm not sure. The way I edited it, I didn't save the date, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure because I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, he's just like out here thinking that he's her whole husband and father of her kids. Like the delusion is just like what gets me.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just trying to tell like staff that or security that or who was going to buy it, because anyone on her staff, you kind of know who her baby daddy is.
Yeah, like especially because like we know, and especially if they're working for her, they obviously would know. So that guy was just stupid.
Yeah, so this was crazy pants. August of 2013. I don't know.
Oh, I think she was still married to him at that point. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. But still, either way.
My next one was Gwyneth Paltrow. Her stalker terrorized her for well over a decade, leaving her in fear. Dante Michael Soy, I'm guessing... apologies if I pronounce your last name wrong. But he actually, I don't apologize because you're the crazy one. He sent her over 65 packages within 6 years, including letters and packages of pornography. He was later found not guilty of an attempted stalking charge and a felony stalking charge per People. How are you found not guilty? Like, you just sent me some porn and you've been making my life hell for 6 years, sending me 65 packages.
Yeah, how is he not guilty? Like, she wasn't like asking him to send her stuff.
I'm pretty sure Amazon has to know who he is, so he right. probably testify for Gwyneth. Like,
that's insane that he didn't get charged. Wow.
Riri. She previously got a restraining order from a man who not only threw a chair through a window, but also stalked her and claimed that he was her future husband as well, per BBC. So a lot of these people are very delusional. They think they're married to or going to marry these celebs. Like, what makes you more honored and more apt to fall in love and more impressed than throwing a chair through my house window? I mean, if that doesn't get my attention, then I don't know what will. Like,
that's, yeah, there's no logic. It's like, why would Rihanna want to be married to you if you're destroying her home? I mean, probably not gonna happen.
Maybe trying to start remodeling the house, like, before he moved in, he just had some ideas. Like,
he's like, this window needs to go.
We can make this now a sliding glass door. Like,
oh, he's being creative. Now.
And then last but not least on my end is Jennifer Love Hewitt. She was stalked by a woman named Diana Napolis, who believed that Hewitt was a satanic cult where, I can't make this stuff up, Steven Spielberg was the leader.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Like, of all people to be the leader of a...
Yes, I mean, you know how dark he was. I mean, he probably planned it with E.T., you know.
Oh, it had to be. It had to be that. But then, like, also, like, why Jennifer Love Hewitt?
So bizarre. She said she would arrive at different events calling Hewitt a murderer and threatening to kill her. She was given a 10-year restraining order per the Telegraph. Dude, can we make it a little longer than 10 years? Like, can we just say forever?
Why is it always 10?
Why do we have to
make
these women start feeling fear at year 8? Like,
yeah, like, they got to beef up their security at, like, year 8.5. They're like, all right, we got to get prepared for this.
We have about 10 years to decide if we're going to stay here or move. Like,
I wonder if, like, 10 years is, like, the max they can give or something for that, which I don't understand why.
Because that's just, like, yeah. So dumb.
That's too weird. So dumb.
So dumb.
No, that's insane. Gosh, that one really was the cherry on top for me, because that one's just, like, so out there and so random.
So what kind of crazies did you find?
I found a few. Yeah, definitely a few crazies as well. So first one, Taylor Swift. A man was arrested 3 times in 5 days for allegedly stalking and harassing her.
How do they not take, well, I guess if he was arrested, you would think if you got arrested the second time doing the same thing, you'd keep him overnight.
Right, like, after 2 times. Yeah, after 2 times, it should be like, okay, this is a problem. But I guess, like, they were doing the whole 3 strikes, you're out type thing. It's like they waited until, like, the 3rd time to actually, like, I don't know, get him. But well, yeah, it was only a couple hours.
Look at his, because karma is a cat and it's coming.
Exactly. Just as she says. But yeah, after leaving court with pending stalking and harassment charges, his name was David Crow, and he was a 33-year-old man from Seattle. Yeah, he got arrested after a 3rd time in 5 days for suspiciously lurking near her New York City home. The court had just granted him supervised release before he promptly allegedly violated an order of protection that the court had also granted. And prosecutors already said that Crow has shown up to her building 30 times in the past 2 months, despite being repeatedly asked to leave over and over again.
These people have calls, man.
They really do. Like, I think they're just so delusional that they don't think that they're doing anything wrong. Because it's like, how are you not embarrassed too? Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, so the 30 calls times, that were, like, seriously?
That's like,
get
so
a new
many.
Hobby. And again,
move on to another celebrity.
Seriously, like, how did you not get arrested before the 30th time?
For real. So the calls that were made on Wednesday to police about a disorderly man outside the Tribeca building where Taylor lives, that led to Crow's rearrest. And it was similar to those that authorities had received on a Monday when he was arrested again following an initial arrest over the weekend for trying to open a door at the building while Taylor was away attending a Travis Kelce football game. So he was trying to get in there when she was, oh yeah, this is recent. She's obviously like huge star, like one of the biggest stars in the entire world. So she's definitely not a stranger to incidents of stalking and harassment. Another thing in 2022, a man was arrested for driving a car into her New York apartment building while he was intoxicated. And then another stalker broke into her home and even took a nap in her bed during an incident in 2018. I don't know what's with these people like napping in these celebrities' beds.
They get tired. They get worn out.
Oh, I guess so. But you would think like the adrenaline would be just like rushing through them that they couldn't sleep. But apparently that's not the case. But Taylor, she wrote an article for Elle in 2019. And she says, you get enough stalkers trying to break into your house and you kind of start prepping for bad things. She also revealed that she regularly carries quick clot. Army grade bandage dressing for gunshot and stab wounds, which is really sad because she just carries it out of the fear for her personal safety. Because I guess she's just like nervous that something could happen to her at any point. So yeah, she's like, well, I just want to be prepared.
Yeah, she probably doesn't like them. You know what she's probably thinking? Because baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done.
Oh my gosh, perfect. Literally just the perfect way to end that. But yes, so she has definitely dealt with her fair share of stalkers. The next one I have is Kendall Jenner. So she has like a stalker and his name is Shaquan King. He broke into her property. No relation.
Okay, just checking.
Very common name. Very common name.
Just checking. I don't know. I need to see your 23andMe results.
I'm like, no, it's actually my cousin. He's the one who told me about the story. No. But yeah, he broke into her property. He undressed and then he jumped in her pool. He also was like pounding on the windows of her house before he was caught by her security. He was briefly arrested due to breaching COVID protocols and has now been banned from contacting the Jenner family directly or indirectly. He must also stay away from all of their residences, their workplaces, and vehicles for not 10 years this time, but just for 5 years. she also had to get a 5-year restraining order against another stalker that she had, Mayek Bowker. He allegedly threatened to buy an illegal firearm to kill her and then himself. So he was threatening murder-suicide on her. So she's like, okay, let me get a restraining order real quick up in here. The next one I have is Miss Sandra Bullock. She woke up at her home in Los Angeles at 5:30 a.m. on June 8th, 2014, to the sound of just really loud banging. And then shortly after that, she heard an explosion. So when police got there, they arrested an intruder, a guy named Joshua Corbett. And it became clear that this was just not like some random break-in. because among his belongings was a notepad containing like diary-like entries. So he was like, they were like, oh, this dude, it is a big time stalker. Because one of the entries said, I love you and you are very special to me. And without you in my life, there is only misery. I've waited and waited, but you never come. So he's just like another delusional person. So court documents revealed that the stalker's entries also contain disturbing descriptions of lurid sexual acts, and his intention, like, I guess, was to sexually assault her, which is really scary, and like very glad that he did not get the opportunity to do that. But surveillance footage captured him lurking outside of her home 3 days before the incident. So he was just like planning this all and setting it all up. And now Sandra actually went on the Red Table Talk, which if you don't know, that's Jada Pinkett Smith's podcast that she does, I think, with like her mom and somebody else, her daughter. But yeah, she went on there and she kind of shared the traumatic experience and kind of just how it has a lasting impact on her. She says that she's been dealing with PTSD since it happened, and she like cannot be alone since that day because she's just too freaked out and scared, which I totally get. Like, that's horrifying. Now the guy, Joshua Corbett, he was convicted in relation to this incident. And in 2018, he actually ended up taking his own life after a confrontation with the police. And I guess she says she felt like, after reflecting on that whole situation, she felt like the system had failed her stalker. So I don't know exactly what she means by that. I don't know if it's because they didn't get to him in time before he like killed himself and he wasn't able to be arrested, or she felt like they couldn't psychologically help him. I'm not exactly sure what she meant by that, but yeah, I think it's really sad that she still deals with the PTSD from it and like can't even be alone ever since then.
I'm assuming she probably feels like he didn't get the proper help that he needed.
Yeah, because he clearly was obviously, I mean, mentally unstable. He's having delusions and he's planning horrible things. So, yeah, I mean, if they were rough with him and didn't take into account that he was not mentally all there, I guess that just led to, you know, what happened, unfortunately.
And she probably holds a little bit of guilt, even though she should hold none, because she has to protect her family and herself, you know.
Oh, yeah. So
she has to get the authorities involved. But at the same time, she probably feels like, because he was in love with her or infatuated with her, you know, she can't help. She is who she is, you know.
But, right, yeah. Yeah, and hopefully she doesn't hold, like, guilt, because it's sad enough that she holds, like, the fear also with it.
Right.
And then my last one is Miss Drew Barrymore.
Julia's last name is going to be Guglia. Julia Guglia. That's funny.
A classic. Oh my gosh. Love that. Right. Wedding singer.
I love
Julia
that one.
Guglia. So good.
Oh my
God. Yeah, she definitely had an experience as well with this. She encountered a very stressful incident during a conversation with Renee Rapp, who is the star of The Sex Lives of College Girls in New York. Her stalker, named online as Chad Michael Busto, he rushed onto the stage, creating a very disturbing scene, and I guess it actually like went pretty big on TikTok. I personally did not see it, but it went pretty viral. So basically, Drew and Renee, they were on stage talking about Renee's debut album when Drew's stalker just appeared, like, basically out of nowhere, and he got onto the stage. So in the video clip, Drew kind of briefly pauses as he was like starts calling her name. And she responded with like a surprised voice being like, oh my God, yes, hi. And a smile, which then kind of like you could see on her face, I guess, turned to confusion as he started to introduce himself. And then the stalker insisted, he says, you know who I am. And then he tried to like approach her and get closer to her, but security luckily like intervened and jumped in and stopped him. And he tried to like insist like nonstop being like, I need to see you at some point while you're in New York. Like basically being like, we have to get together. I have to see you. You know who I am. And while this is all like happening, Renee is kind of like on the stage, like still just remaining composed and like trying to act normal. And Drew got guided off of the stage. But she did come back after a few minutes. And they kind of just went on with the interview and they neither of them said anything about like what just happened. But yeah, you could tell, I guess, like it all happened so fast that she was just kind of like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then she realized who the guy was. It was like a stalker of hers. And then TMZ, I guess, reported that he was not arrested at all during the situation, which I think is interesting. I mean, yes, I guess technically he didn't break any laws while he did that. But like if he consistently stalks her and then he tried to get close to her, I don't know. I hope she's like trying to like get a restraining order of some sort for him at the very least.
I wonder if she was like, I'm not pressing charges, because she seems like she'd be so nice, you know?
Yeah, like maybe she thinks like because like he wasn't being aggressive or like mean. He was just like, it's me. Like we have to get together at some point. Like being more like excited. Maybe she felt like bad or something.
I don't know. I mean, it's good that she played it as in, like, even if she was scared, like, oh my God, hi, how are you? To buy time instead of scaring him off, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, to, like, act friendly towards him so she doesn't, like, piss him off or something.
That's kind of like, what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, all these people, I think the biggest word to kind of, like, explain them is, like, delusional.
very much so.
Sadly. And I just feel so bad because like obviously these people, they know like when they get into this industry that there's a chance they could like blow up and become super famous, but I feel like nobody really knows what that means until you are famous and then you're dealing with terrifying stalkers and stuff like that. Like I don't even know how they do it. Like the fact that like with Sandra Bullock like not being alone ever in like what is that, like 6 years now, is just sad.
Oh my gosh. You know, it just kind of shows you that even being a celebrity, it still comes with issues and problems and just like the normal human person, you know, you get nervous of break-ins and probably even worse because you're a celebrity, you know.
Right. Especially right. With these people thinking that they're like married to you. You know what I mean?
But I wonder if the girl from Brad Pitt's story, like, did she get to keep the clothes? Cause like, oh my God, could you imagine?
That would be a little bit iconic. I would have to
say. Cause I mean, she got arrested while they were on. I don't know if he's like, hey, can you get my joggers back? Like,
yeah. Cause like, why would he want them back? If it was me, I'd be like, I don't want them. But I also don't think I would want her to have them either.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't
want her to have my stuff.
Well, we did have one more, but I'm thinking, because we've been here a minute, do you want to maybe do a to be continued and we can open up with it next week before we go into one of our shows?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely can,
because I think that one's going to take an extra second.
Yeah, that one's definitely much longer. There's tons of details with that, so we can for sure push that.
So stay tuned to our last secret story. It's not a secret because we found it on
it's
the gonna
internet, be
but
a good one.
But, well, this one was a little bit different this week. It wasn't, you know, I was going to say it wasn't gritty, but Saltburn's kind of gritty.
Yeah, we started out with the grit.
It wasn't, I was going to say dark, but that was kind of dark. It wasn't a true, very disturbed, dark, gritty murder story that left you in like, oh my gosh, and made your day sad for the rest of the day.
So you're welcome, basically.
Thank you for, you know, swooping in and staying in touch and checking in and all the things for Horror, Wine, and Crime. We appreciate it.
Yes. And let us know if you guys have any crazy fun stalker stories. Not that they're fun, I guess, but, you know, fun to tell.
Oh my God, these freaking videos with Kay. I just love, like, randomly you're talking to her and then you just see her feet swinging behind her head. Like, I just see, like, her toes and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, you guys want me to post the videos and, like, I'll charge money, charge extra money for that.
The feet fetish. She's about to do us OnlyFans. We could do an OnlyFans podcast story.
We'll just, like, post the video and in the background I'll just be like for all the weirdos out there.
Oh my gosh,
that's so funny. It's hilarious too, because like I don't even realize I'm doing it, but like it probably is kind of jarring for you because you just start looking at me and then all of a sudden,
well, the first time I was just like, who's behind her? I thought it was like Brett or somebody or the dog behind you. And then obviously this week, I knew it was your feet, especially when you were doing like your yoga poses and you're grabbing your foot. I'm like, all right, she's stretching. She's multitasking. We're fidgeters, people. We fidget, okay? We can't sit still. We
I didn't even know I did that.
You know, we fidget, we drink. Oh, so you funny. Know, we got our wine, we got it the just... time.
Yep. That's hilarious. I did not even know I did that.
You have to see if you can pick your wine glass up with your toes and bring it all the way around to your mouth.
Now that would make money, that type of thing.
Well, let's do it when you're not drinking a red. We'll make sure it's a white wine.
Yeah, I would stay on the safe side. Oh my gosh.
Well,
I was like, well, on that note.
On that note, we are going to call it a night and we will catch you on the flip side next week. Could be the same time, could be the same place. It will be for you. I don't know for us, but.
Probably for you guys, probably not for us.
Right. So on that note, we got to go.
Stay creepy.
Peace out. Bye.
Bye. You better not kill the broom, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house right down.
You better not steal the moves, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house.